Blog Talk Radio.
They say this change will never end, but they don't know you like we do. There is power in your name. We've heard that there is no way through. We've heard the tide will never change. They haven't seen what you can do.
We have no.
There is power in your name. So much power in your name. Move me and move along. Break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. Show me improvable. We'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe. We know that hope is ever lost. Oh, for there is still an easy grace. God, we believe no matter what. There is power in your name. So much power in your name.
Believe for it. You just have to believe for it. The word of God decreed that. The word of God declared. You have to just believe for it.
You said, I believe. You said, it is so. You said, I believe. You said it is so. Can you help me sing?
Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're truly happy to have each and every one of you all, and I'm excited about the review, so let's get into it. We're going to start with a word of prayer. Father God, we truly thank you for your word, because it's in your word, Father God. We learn who we are, and we really learn who you are. It's in your word, because you are your word. So I thank you, Father God, for this lesson today. I thank you for the review, for those that are participating, and for those that are becoming in agreement with your word. I thank you for all of that. Thank you, Father God, that we're able to put your word first place in our lives. There was a time man couldn't do that for a lot of reasons. But, Father God, we give you thanks and we give you praise that we're able to do that today. And, Father God, bless those that are asking for prayer that we can put ourselves in agreement with, as long as they're in agreement with your word, bless God. So I thank you for it. Hallelujah. Well, hey, brothers and sisters, we're going to get started with on last Monday. We sort of touched on a little bit from last Sunday, but we touched on it last Monday as well. So the subject is the same now. We're talking about maintaining, making the Word of God the final authority. Now, to somebody, that may not seem like, or it may seem an overkill or whatever, but you have to understand the Word of God like that, brothers and sisters. You have to maintain that proper perspective, and that is the Word of God has to be first. The Word of God has to be the final authority, and you have to maintain that. That's what we're trying to say. So, over in Ephesians 1, we started last Monday. I'm going to say it was Ephesians 1, verse 7. We'll go there. It reads like this: in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. Now, let me say this to you, brothers and sisters, please. He said, we have redemption. Okay. Not we're going to get it. We already have it. So don't let people discourage you about your faith. You have redemption already. Well, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying when you have redemption, That's like redeeming. That's what redemption is. Redemption, restoring, redeeming. We have redemption. We're forgiven. And I just love that word, forgiveness. That's how I see that. Forgiveness. We have that. And so that's what the writer is saying. We're not guilty. How about that? We're free from guilt. We're free from being blind, from having done something wrong. That's what redemption really is. It's a freedom from guilt or blame for having done something wrong. So even though Satan tried to bring that to us, we're free from that. See, that's, it's an action word too, because it's an act. And God acts on his word. How I know that? He gave us his only begotten son that we could be, we would have the right to eternal life. Personally, when I think of redemption, I think of an atonement. Christ became an atonement for us. I think of new birth. I think of salvation. I think redemption really is purification. We've been cleared of all wrongdoing. Look at it like that. That's what redemption is. So we've been redeemed by his blood. That's what redemption is, brothers and sisters. So you can proudly say, I mean, you can say it with pride. I've been forgiven of sin. Not going to be right now. So right now, you've been forgiven. It ain't like when I get over there or if I do this and if I... redemption was not predicated on what you do. It was predicated on what God did in the man Christ Jesus. Man, I can't get enough of trying to explain the true nature of what God did, his love toward us. It was so awesome, and it is so awesome. Then over there in the 8th verse, he says, wherein he have abundantly. You got to hear that. I mean, a whole lot's taught us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he have purposed in himself. I think I told y'all, mind it, it's a God thing, man. God did this. He did it. He did it. You know he did it. He did this. He made us to understand now what he did. And some people still don't want to get on board with that. When he revealed his mystery unto us, let me look at it like this, brothers and sisters. Because this is far bigger than I can even explain. To speak of Jesus' blood was really important in the first century. Ways of speaking of Christ's death. His death pointed to wandering troops. Redemption and forgiveness of sin. So according to Leviticus 25:47-54, his death, talking about Jesus, paid the price to release us from slavery. So we have a right now to go to the Father. So when you understand it, and through the scripture, that's what had taken place, that you've been free, man. They got a Juneteenth day. Some of those people didn't realize they had been free to a year later, months later, but they was already free. Why do I bring that up? As a lot of people right now, they don't even know they're free. They're in bondage to organization. And they're free. You're free from that. You're free from the old. You're free from that. But you have to maintain that freedom with this proper perspective. And that is because of the word of God said. Also, God's grace, or if I should say, grace is God's levering stick or his volume. That's what he uses. God uses his grace. He uses his favor to get us free. That's what we got out of, that's what got us free from slavery. That's what got us free from the commandment of the law. And it only come from God. It only came from God's mercy and God's peace. So without God's grace, a person can be, I should say, without God's grace, a person can't be saved. Because you can't work for it. You can't earn it. So that's why I think most Gentiles have to agree with me. And man, we thank God for his grace. See, God was not intentionally keeping his plan a secret, the mistress of his will. But his plan for the world could not be fully understood until Christ rose from the dead. His purpose for sending Christ was to unite the Jews and the Gentiles, believers and non-believers, in one body, head. I'm not talking about no church building. I'm talking about with Christ as the head. Probably need to say that again. Christ is the head of the church. So many people still do not understand that God's plan for his purpose. His purpose is to unite us into one body, and we become one people. And that's why it was through the blood of Christ, through the redemption. You know, that was something I thought about when Jesus was on the cross and Jesus said, it's finished. The redemptive plan was finished. Now, I'm telling you, there are people who will argue with you and say, well, it couldn't be finished until he was risen from the dead. No, he shed his blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. So he had shed his blood. He did that. And that gave God the legal right, because he one day, according to Philippians 2 and 10, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. It may not see it now, it may not understand it now, but one day, everybody's going to have to respect the lordship of Christ, man. Yeah. They may not respect it now. They may see it, well, you know what? I go to church. I got a preacher. See all that stuff there? Listen, brothers and sisters. One day, all that going to be thrown away, and we're going to have to respect the lordship of Christ, meaning he is Lord. It's what we need to be trying to maintain right now. No matter what happens, what comes, that has to become the perspective. Because, see, that's God's perspective. He gave Christ for our sins. And we have to accept that. That's if you want everlasting life. Because I was talking to somebody. So, well, I don't have to accept that. You should. You're right. You don't. But if you want eternal life, you will. So when I read Ephesians 1:7, you have to believe in the redemption plan and then maintain that belief. Also, I think it was verses 13 and verses 19. So let me go to Ephesians 1, and we'll do verses 13. Oh, okay. Got Pastor. Is she ready to read it out of the Messenger Bible? That would be... Ephesians 1 and verse 13. I'm trying to see if we did 13 through 19, but I'm going to do it like this. Verses 13 read like this. In whom ye also trust, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believe, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Good afternoon, everyone. Ephesians 1:13 from the Message. It's in Christ that you once, let me start over. It's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, this message of your salvation, found yourself home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so much. The Holy Spirit is God's seal that we belong to him, and his deposit is guaranteed that he will do whatever. I'm going to say that boldly. God is going to do whatever he has promised. He can't lie. He's not a man that he will lie. So the Holy Spirit is like a down payment, a deposit, if you will. That validate is just like a signature on a contract. There's no difference. The Holy Spirit present means that have accepted what God have did. We agree with what God have did in the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So that means you have, you're going to have a secure title to eternal life. Now, I know people say it's guaranteed, but I'm going to tell you, you look at it that, okay, if God promised you something, you can count on it. You can take it to the bank, man.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He promised it. He promised that.
Thank
because
you.
We're his children and we remain faithful in his word, we're going to have eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
That without question.
Yes.
Because you've already been redeemed. When you read back over there in the seventh and the eighth verse, you've already been redeemed. And then you read the next verse, you've inherited it. That's the part I like.
Yes.
You've inherited
mm-hmm.
it. If you ever
mm-hmm.
inherited something, you didn't have to work for it. If you had to work for
mm-hmm.
it, then you wouldn't inherit it. It becomes
mm-hmm.
a gift. That's what your inheritance
yeah.
are. It's a gift. God gave you this stuff. So it's yours. Well, Pastor, I'm well, until you claim it, bless God, you won't see it.
Mm-hmm.
You won't see it until you claim it.
Amen.
The world fear the power of God. You may not know that, but the world does. Because they know it's real. It's these church folk and so-called, quote, believers. They don't know the power of God. But the world
yes.
know the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe... And the writer trying to enlighten us, okay? He wants your eyes of your understanding to be enlightened. Well, we'll read 18 and 19, because it says, the eyes of your understanding, not the optical nerve now, so don't get that twisted, but the eyes
mm-hmm.
of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory in his inheritance in the saints.
you want to be enlightened on that. And what is the exceedingly and greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in the heavenly places. I went to the 20th verse, but that was 18 through 20, Pastor, you.
Okay, Pastor. Amen, amen. God, our Master Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in acknowledging him personally, your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what it is he's calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for his followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him, endless energy, boundless strength. All this energy is issued from Christ. God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe. Amen, amen.
Yeah. We have to receive that. I like what Romans 8:23 and 24 said, because it's talking about Christ being the first fruit. He said, now, so he had to go through this so we could enjoy this inheritance. So over in Romans 8:3, and not only they, but ourselves also, we have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groaning within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. For we are saved by hope, but hope that it seems is not hope. For what is a man seeth? Why doeth he yet hope for it? Good question. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patiently wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth of our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groaning and cannot be uttered. Cannot be uttered.
Amen, amen. From the Message Bible. But it's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We're also feeling the birth pain. These sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. That is why waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, don't see what is enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become, and the more joyful our expectancy. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless despise our groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition, and keeps us present before God. That's why we can be sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. Amen.
Listen, brothers and sisters, we have to maintain, okay? That is so important. You maintain the things that God have opened you up to, the mystery, the truth. He is true.
Yeah.
So important.
Amen.
Because you have to know that you're part of that first fruit, talking about you being born again. And even if you don't quite understand it, don't worry. We have the Holy Spirit to help us to pray. Pray stuff that we don't even know and that we don't even understand. And here's the key for all these tongue-talking folks. It can't be uttered. Bible says it can't be uttered. Now, you might say what you want to say, but the Bible says, see, when the Holy Ghost doing stuff, it can't be uttered. That's what the 26th verse says. Likewise, the Spirit also works our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit itself make an intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. So there's some stuff goes on with the Holy Spirit, man. You can't even utter it. Don't be talking about you trying to explain it. You can't. You can't utter it. Can't speak it. Now, for those that may not know that, I'm going to see if Pastor can find that in the Messenger Bible or God's Word, one of them. Because I love clarity, man. Ain't nothing like clarity. Ain't nothing like truth. If the Bible says it can't be uttered, then it can't be uttered. That's that 26th verse, Pastor. Romans 8, verse 26. Did I lose you, Pastor?
Romans 8. Okay, Pastor, you say Romans 8, 26?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll be reading it from, let's see here, from the New Living Translation. Romans 8, 26. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groaning that cannot be expressed in words. Amen. Yeah. Then some. Okay, go ahead, Pastor. I have to find it in God's Word.
We're just looking for clarity here.
Amen. Oh, man.
Listen, brothers and sisters, when the Holy Spirit be a help you, you don't have to interpret what the Holy Spirit say, because you can't utter it no way. When the Holy Spirit gave you word and told you not to worry, whatever it tells you, whatever it say, you can't then turn around and try to interpret that. Can't be uttered. When you don't know what to pray for, and then you trying to come up with some stuff to say, that ain't God. That may not be popular with you. That may not be something you want to hear. But it, according to scripture here, it can't be uttered.
Amen. So, Pastor, reading it from God's Word, it says, At the same time, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses because we don't know how to pray for what we need, but the Spirit intercedes along with our groans that cannot be expressed in words. Amen.
Yeah. So we're going to move on. Tuesday, Evangelist Renee, she prayed, and that was a beautiful prayer. And we made mention that the Word of God is our proper perspective, because that's what we live by. That is what we live by, is God's Word. And we found that over in Matthew 4. I'm going to ask Pastor to go ahead and look that up right quick. Matthew 4:4, if you please. That's our perspective.
So Matthew 4:4, reading from the King James. And he saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Oh, I'm supposed to read 4. I'm sorry, Pastor. The 4th verse says, answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen.
See, that's our perspective. We live by the Word of God. When you say perspective, you're talking about our viewpoint. That should be your viewpoint. And Joshua 1:8 said you ought to meditate day and night on that thing. Day and night.
Yeah.
Because that's perspective. Mm-hmm. That's your outlook. That's how you view things. That's your point of view.
Yeah.
In other words, that should become your mindset. So every time you're faced with something, your belief is, hey, I live by what the Word of God says. So let me go there and get mine from the Word of God. That has to become your angle. You know, that has to become how you see things.
Yeah.
So when you think about your perception It's the thing that same thing that convicts you is the Word of God. That's how you know you're free. I hate to say this, but I'm going to use this term today. That's your feelings. Your feelings is, hey, that's what the Word of God say. I'm living like that. Because that's our perspective, brothers and sisters. Do not get it twisted.
Yes, it is.
That has to become our perspective. And so just maintaining that.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that confession. Remember we started by Romans 10:9-10. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For it's with that spirit heart. That man, not with your head. Satan would love for you to think it's all about your head. But God ain't told us that. God told us over there, I think it was Hebrews 4. Was that Hebrews 4:16? We talked about holding fast to our profession. 16 said, Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That was going back to that other scripture that we had dealt with. But in Hebrews 4, might have been verse 14. I know I'm thinking 16. 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Our profession is our confession. That's what you professing, Christianity. You're professing to be like Christ. You got to hold on to that.
Yes. Amen.
Well, I'm going to let Pastor read that. If anybody would like to comment, you can. I didn't want to get too far without maybe somebody had something this week that they wanted to share. But in the book of Hebrews, the fourth chapter, the 14th verse, Pastor, you want to read that at the whatever version you're being led to?
Yes, Pastor. I'll read it from the Message Bible. It says, now that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest, with ready access to God, let us not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, all but the sin. Amen, amen.
Christ is
the new. I apologize, Pastor.
Oh, well, go ahead.
Okay, Pastor. From the New Living Translation, it says, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. Amen.
We have this great high priest.
Thank you.
Great. Not no regular high priest, but he's great.
Amen.
Meaning bigger than that. He's superior. So his priesthood is superior to the priesthood before him and even after him. So to the Jews, the highest priest was the highest religion in authority at that time. So whoever the high priest were, he was kind of like over all these different religion and authorities that existed in the world or in the land at that time. And he alone entered into the Holy of Holies. That's why they went to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
That was my reason.
All right.
Because he alone could take your sin into the holiness of holiness in the temple. And he took it up there once a year. And they called that an atonement. That was an atonement. And according to Leviticus 16, like the high priest Jesus did exactly that. He became the go-between man and God.
Yes. Amen.
As a representative, Jesus had the right. Now, people, they'll debate this, but when Jesus was on earth, and I got scripture for you too, when Jesus was on earth, he did something no one else had did. He forgave people for their sins.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, crazy. How you going to do that? You ain't God. He said, I forgive you. You've been forgiven of your sin. I can give you several illustrations. And they got mad at him. got mad at him because he forgave people for their sin. And I'm going to tell you, as a representative, as a minister of the new covenant, you got the power to do that in the name of Jesus. You can do that.
Hey.
I don't care if you heard it or not. It's the truth. It's what the Word of God says. We are ministers of the new covenant. We are ambassadors. We represent the kingdom of God. You can't do one and don't do the other. Can't do that. As an ambassador, you have power. And you read this over there in 1 Corinthians 5. As ambassadors, you have the right to do whatever God says to do. So we became ministers of the new covenant, not by the letter, but by the Spirit. Because the letter kill it, but the Spirit giveth life. You
Amen.
Can do that. We just got to learn all these things that's been made available for us through the new covenant, through this inheritance that we receive. We receive this inheritance. We can do a whole lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
But anyway, anyone like to have anything they like to share from this week? One other thing I'm going to make mention because when Evangelist Renee has said she just really loves some, the Lord had spoken to me then. I probably didn't see it, so I want to repent and see it now. That's one of the better things you can do every day. Find you a psalm, and if you can, find you a proverb to read every day. Every day. Mm-hmm. You'll fall more
Amen.
In love with God daily by doing that. And
Amen.
We made mention, I think it was Tuesday, we made mention when we were talking about, I think that was the day Evangelist Renee prayed. But anyway, that was the day she talked about the Psalms. That I remember. And one of the things that she had said, how well she liked the Psalms and appreciate the Psalms. And I think Pastor and myself will agree that we feel the same way about that. That was our perspective. But the Lord told me then, said, you tell the people that it's a beautiful thing, man, to read a psalm and a proverb every day. It's like that's
Amen.
Our medicine. That's our medicine.
Mm-hmm.
That's like what's on our prescription. We need to do that every day. And it'll keep you excited. The Word of God will keep you excited. It's not boring like people think. To me, it's really
Amen.
Exciting. But we have purpose. But anyone like to have any comments at this time? Because I could go on with the review, but I do want to be respectful. Because remember, I gave y'all my list, my Never Again list.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And so, Pastor, you were sharing with us also. I think we also read 1 Corinthians 2, and I'm going to start with verse 10. I think it was 10 through 14. So I'll be reading it from the King James, and that's 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, beginning with the 10th verse. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Amen. Amen. So that was one of the scriptures we brought out also.
Yeah, well, that has to do with Isaiah 55. If you all remember in Isaiah 55 and 8, where he talks about God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and our thoughts are not God's thoughts. So then in the Old Testament, we couldn't think like God. We weren't allowed to. Christ hadn't came yet. So we couldn't have the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit was not there to give us that mind. So God says, for your thoughts are my thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways. And he went on to say that. So when we went to 2 Corinthians, it was to let people know that, hey, your thoughts can be God's thoughts now. Your ways can be God's thoughts now. But before, we didn't have that. And that's the way people gave it. But remember, what we did was this very thing God was saying in Isaiah. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And then he said, let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And we'll have mercy on him. And God said he'll abundantly pardon. I need to get that scripture. But anyway, almost lost my train of thought there. But so that's what we were dealing with that scripture Pastor read a moment ago, for those that you may be your first time hearing it, and how that fit in. It fit in because God had gave us that as revelation to Isaiah 55. Yes, we can have God's thoughts now. Where before, we couldn't have God's thoughts because it was foolishness. It was carnal stuff. But now, it's not like
good now. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
So when we read, 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2, we get that. That's where we get that from, 1 Corinthians 2. That's what Pastor just read. Thing. Is that right, Pastor?
Yes, Pastor. That's what I read.
And so I was saying, that's why 1 Corinthians 2, that's the revelation to that, brothers and sisters. And it has to do with the fact that we can have God's wisdom. We can have God's thoughts. Just like Philippians 2:5 said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
Among them that are perfect. Everybody is not there. But for those that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the prince of this world that cometh to know. But we speak to you of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God had ordained before the world unto our glory. It was a mystery. He held that. But once Christ died and was resurrected, he could release this wisdom through Christ now, because that's the way it had to come, through Christ. So
we can be like God.
And for those that don't know, let me say this, church. and I be down my part. God had never changed his mind about making us in his and after his likeness. He never changed his mind. Irregardless to what you think or might believe, God have always maintained he wanted man to be like him, created in his image, his likeness. So all these steps or this plan is to that end, that we be like him, spirit, soul, and body, be like Christ.
Yeah.
That always been God's will. He said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Genesis 1:26. God hadn't changed his mind, hadn't changed his stand. It's just been a process.
Amen.
And so that God stood true to his word.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for bringing that out. Anybody else? I want to share any other scripture that was said this week.
Amen. And Pastor, that one scripture you were talking about, Isaiah 55:7, where it says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. Amen.
Yeah, that was it.
Amen.
I don't know what another version say.
Okay.
But
the New Living Translation says, let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thoughts of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. Amen. That's the New Living Translation.
And listen, brothers and sisters, when we're doing it God's way, then we become like God. Do that make sense? When you let your thoughts go and grab God's thoughts, you become like God wants you to be. That's what that scripture is saying. Forsake your ways. Forget what your way, and then let's hear God's ways. What is God's word? His way is what the word of God said it is.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Anyone else? Anyone else? Hallelujah. Well, we truly thank each and every one of you all. And we look forward to seeing you all Monday for the Word